Welcome to the latest episode of Your Wealth with Gemma Dell, a podcast series designed to help you create, grow, and protect your wealth.
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Your Wealth. My name is Vishal Tekshanani. I'm NabTrade's Customer Insights Manager, and in this episode, I'm interviewing our regular host, Gemma Dale, about the federal budget. Gemma, it is nearly 1 a.m. on 9th
yes,
of May.
It is. Yeah.
What are we doing with our lives? We're talking about the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And how exciting. So there are a couple of key announcements that we're going to cover, a couple of key measures. Mm-hmm. So Gemma, let's start off with personal income tax cuts, which were flagged heavily prior to the budget evening's announcements. Now, what's been announced and how will these tranches of proposed tax cuts work exactly?
So there are most definitely tax cuts in this budget, but it is worth noting they are targeted to different groups. And as you say, they're phased in over several years. So it's actually really difficult to work out what it might mean for you. What I'll say, you've already alluded to this, none of this is legislated yet. We have an interesting scenario with a government that doesn't have a majority in the Senate. And so they do need to get this past the crossbenches. Let's assume that it does get through. If you would like to know what these tax cuts are going to mean for you, probably don't use the calculator on the federal budget website. I know that's a strong statement, but it seems to be showing a best case scenario and it seems to be cumulative. So it shows you this really dramatic tax saving, which does not in any way correlate to what you would get in year one if this was legislated.
Okay. Interesting thought there. So why don't we talk about the tranches and details. So the first tranche is going to apply from 1 July 2018, right? Gemma, can you talk us through what that entails?
Yeah, sure. So there are two groups who are going to benefit from the first wave of cuts, as I said, assuming they're legislated. So there is a new low and middle income tax offset of up to $530 a year, and that's going to be introduced from the 1st of July this year, as you've said. It will be passed in full to those who earn between $48,000 and $90,000 per annum. So those who earn below $37,000 will get a maximum rebate of $200. With most rebates, and with this one in particular, it only applies if you pay tax. Right? So if you don't have any tax payable, you're not going to get a refund. It will be refunded against any tax that you have paid. If you're earning over the $90,000 per annum, it's going to phase out and it's going to cut out entirely at around $125,000 a year. So it's worth noting also that this isn't factored into your fortnightly salary, so you're not getting an immediate benefit. You'll get it back when you submit your tax return, which is something over 12 months away at this point in time.
So Gemma, there's also one other measure that will apply from 1 July 2018, is that right?
That is right. So from 1st of July this year, there's going to be an increase in the threshold at which the 37-cent tax bracket kicks in from $87,000 per annum to $90,000 a year. In case you are wondering, that delivers a tax cut of $135 a year. So $260 a week or thereabouts to those who are earning more than that $87,000 amount.
Right, so less than $3 a week, which is going to be, look, it's going to be really important to me because I really need my coffee right now.
It's important.
Okay, so assuming these measures are legislated, those at the lower end can expect a good amount of relief in their annual tax return, but that won't come through over 14 months, so from 30 June next year. And those earning over $87,000 a year can expect a very small tax cut once they get their first paycheck after 1st July of this year. Is that right?
Yeah, so that's a very neat little summary of the first raft of changes that are coming into effect. The next raft of changes doesn't come into effect until 1st of July 2022. So it's 4 years away. At that point, you're going to take the $37,000 threshold at which the 32.5-cent tax bracket kicks in, and that's going to increase to $41,000. And the $90,000 threshold at which the 37-cent tax rate kicks in is going to increase to $120,000. So that's actually quite a big increase, and they will deliver quite meaningful tax savings to people who earn more than those amounts. So it's $540 a year for those earning between $41,000 and $90,000 a year. And it's over $2,000 a year for people who earn over $120,000. So that's where things get a bit interesting for that group. One thing that is a bit tricky is that the new low and middle income tax offset will actually cease at that point, and the current low income tax offset is going to increase to replace it. So there's a lot of complex interplay between the new offsets and the existing ones. And if you get the senior Australian pensioner tax offset, you've also got to take that into consideration.
Okay, so Gemma, that covers off the tranche that applies from 1 July 2022, it is late in the night.
Yes, it is, yeah.
And now this wave of tax changes will continue with more coming from 1 July 2024, is that right?
Yeah, so 6 or 7 years from now, the 37 cent tax rate will be abolished altogether. And everyone earning above $41,000 a year is going to pay 32 and a half cents in the dollar, up to $200,000. So that's a pretty massive bracket. And that's where the top marginal rate is going to kick in. So the top marginal rate currently kicks in at $180,000 a year. So that is a nice saving for people earning over $120,000. And it is actually a $7,000 a year saving for people who earn over $180,000 a year.
Right, Gemma. So there's a lot of changes over many years and quite a bit of complexity for people to process. But the most immediate impact, if we can summarize it like this, is that there will be a nice bonus in your tax return next year if you're earning less than $90,000 per annum, and very little tax cut in the weekly pay packet of anyone earning over $87,000 per annum. Is that right?
Look, it's a good summary. It's worth noting if you are at the lower end of those two thresholds and you don't currently pay any tax, then obviously you're not going to get a refund of tax that's not been paid. But otherwise, yes, that's a pretty good way of putting it together.
Okay, and just to reiterate, these measures do need to be passed.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so let's move on to some other tax proposals.
Yep.
Another one to note is, this particularly applies to retailers, is the extension of the instant asset tax write-off, which has been a feature of recent budgets.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So this one is an immediate deduction for expenses up to $20,000 per asset. And it's for businesses with turnover of up to $10 million a year. It was originally introduced in 2015 as a short-term measure. Tony's Tradies might be the term that you will remember. And it's proven very popular, so it keeps being extended every year. And it has been extended for another 12 months. For investors, and many NabTrade listeners are very interested in thinking about what this means for companies as well as for individuals, this one has really benefited retailers. Businesses and business owners will go out and purchase electrical goods, white goods, other business items that have, you know, somewhat higher price tags than they would have previously if they're under that $20,000 limit. So we may well see that happen again.
Now, let's turn to superannuation, Gemma. So the government has announced that they wouldn't be making changes to superannuation after some pretty significant changes over the last few years. But there were a few little announcements in this budget, one of which may have significant consequences for SMSFs. Is that right?
Yeah, so this is a tricky one, and we don't have a lot of detail. The government's shortly going to release a consultation paper about this, so they're a long way from making any legislation or even drafting any legislation that we've seen. And the announcement here is that Superfund trustees will be required to offer members something like a lifetime income stream. So we used to see these in the form of an annuity. This could include an annuity component and some market-linked component. So we saw TAPS back in the day, term allocated pensions or complying pensions in self-managed super funds, maybe something a bit like that. And there are also announcements in this budget about how these will be treated for Social Security purposes, which is different to how the current account-based pensions are treated for the age pension and so on. Existing arrangements are going to be grandfathered. This is only going to come into effect from 1st of July 2019. The government is consulting on it. There's nothing really drafted to give us any clarity. Critical point is whether SMSFs are included or not. There is an assumption that they won't be. If they are included, then it will probably mean a lot more work for self-managed super fund trustees to think about how they craft this kind of structure for their members. If they're carved out, could be pretty easy situation for them.
Okay, so more work on one end, but on the other, if you have been a well-behaved SMSF, there is a sweetener in this budget, right?
Yeah, so this one says from 1st of July 2019 again, those funds with a good compliance record, which is important, will be required to have their fund audited once every 3 years rather than every year. So that is rather an incentive to get your paperwork in order, and you can save a few hundred dollars a year in audit costs, which is quite nice.
And a lot of time. So has the government defined what constitutes a good compliance record?
Not that we've seen, but we imagine the tax office will be providing some feedback on that, right?
Okay. So another big announcement for super is an exemption from the work test for those with small super balances. Can you explain that one?
Yeah, so this one is interesting, and digging a little bit more into the detail, it's probably not as attractive as it might have appeared on first read. So currently, if you're over 65, you need to work at least 40 hours in a 30-day period in order to be able to contribute to super. And unless you use the new downsizing provision, which is available from the 1st of July this year, if you're over 75, you can't contribute at all. So this new announcement is that those who are over 65 but yet to turn 75 can contribute to super if their total super balance across all accounts, both accumulation and pension, is less than $300,000. Now, the bit that makes it less fun is this is only available in the year after you've previously met the work test. So if you did meet the work test when you were 67, you would be able to take advantage of this when you're 68. But most people who don't meet the work test haven't met it for quite some time. So originally we were thinking this could be beneficial, particularly for women who've not had an opportunity to really build up super throughout their working lives. They tend to retire with much, much lower super balances than men, and it might be beneficial for that group. But then even then, you've got to consider the fact that if you don't have significant savings and you don't pay any tax, moving your assets from a tax-free environment outside super to a tax-free environment inside super isn't particularly beneficial, right? So if you are not paying any tax, it's not a particularly big deal. For some people, this might be useful. The things that you need to think about are that it doesn't come into effect until 1st of July 2019. The usual concessional and non-concessional caps apply, and you can't use the bring forward for this age group.
Right, so Gemma, that's going to take a while for people to get their head around the machinations of, I think. So let's turn to a few simpler, small measures for young people with super.
Yeah, that's right. So there are many young people who end up with multiple superannuation accounts from different employers, and their balances are often eroded with insurance premiums that they don't need. And in addition to that, they have fees that are payable on these really small balances. So this measure will cap fees at 3% for balances less than $6,000. And it's also going to make insurance an opt-in arrangement for people under 25.
Okay, so Gemma, we've covered off the superannuation component of the budget announcement. So now let's turn to the pension. Mm-hmm. So at the other end of the spectrum, older Australians may be able to boost their income. There's a sweetener there, is that right?
Look, there are two measures here. One is the pension work bonus, which currently allows those on the age pension to earn $250 a fortnight without affecting their pension payment. So that's going to increase to $300 a fortnight from 1 July 2019. And it's also going to be extended to the self-employed for the first time, which is nice. And that's an incentive for older people potentially to transition to retirement or keep working a little bit longer.
Right, and talk to us about the pension loan scheme. That could get a lot more attention in the future.
Yeah, so this is an existing scheme, and it is one that doesn't get a large amount of attention. Anyone who knows about it well tends to think that it should. What it does is allow age pensioners to borrow against the value of their home to receive fortnightly installments. And at the moment, it's only available to those on a part pension or to people who don't receive the age pension because they are excluded on the basis of either the income test or the asset test, but not both. And it's similar to a reverse mortgage, but reverse mortgages are not widely available. This is offered by the government, so the terms are pretty fair. What they're going to do with this measure is widen the eligibility of the scheme to all Australians over age pension age, including those who receive the full pension and those who get no pension because of both the income and the assets test. So that does include quite rather sort of wealthier people. It could be an attractive option for people who are both, they're quite asset rich but feeling a bit cash poor in retirement. It does take a multitude of things into consideration, and there is a suggestion that it will be available up to about 150% of the pension entitlement, but that will depend on your situation. It'll come into effect 1st of July 2019. It's a bit of a tricky one, so people have some time, as with many of the other measures, to work out how it works and whether or not it's going to be beneficial for them.
Definitely a tricky one, and I don't know how you're able to keep up with this. This is amazing. So
on that one, it's worth mentioning, there's a group of people who work for Centrelink called Financial Information Service Officers, FIS Officers. It's a free service. These people are amazing, and they know everything about how the Social Security legislation works. So if you want to know about some of these things as they currently stand, for example, so you don't know about the pension loan scheme and you'd like to learn some more, you can go and make an appointment with one of them. It's a free service, and they'll be able to explain to you the implications of it if you were to apply it to your situation. They won't give you financial advice, but they will tell you whether or not you can use it. So try that if you're thinking about this one.
Definitely sounds handy. I'm not there yet.
Yeah, perhaps not you at this point.
Okay, so finally, some incentives for those who want to stay in their own homes as they age. It's an interesting one.
Yeah, it really is. So previous budgets, certainly the last few years, the issue of housing affordability and first home buyers have been front of mind, even if there haven't been particularly meaningful measures announced for them. There've been no mention of that group at all in this budget. And at the other end of the spectrum, there's a funding for a further 14,000 in home care arrangements. So what that does is allow people who would otherwise have to go into an aged care facility and don't want to leave their own home to stay in their home and receive some public funding for that, which is a substitute for the public funding they would receive in an aged care facility.
Okay, Gemma, thank you so much. I can't believe you managed to provide such a comprehensive summary of the budget at this hour. Do you have any final thoughts for investors and taxpayers?
Well, thanks, Vish. Look, there's very little in this budget that people need to act on immediately, which is beneficial. There have been plenty of budgets in the past where we get an announcement on the night that takes effect at 8 p.m. or 7:30 p.m. on budget night. There's nothing like that this year. There's quite a wide range of measures, but they will take some time to come into effect. So worth giving some thought to which measures may affect you. Take some time to get across the detail. We'll obviously keep people up to date as the legislation comes through and work out whether or not any of them are going to affect you personally.
No worries. Gemma, thank you so much for your time. You deserve a well-deserved sleep and rest now, I think. Well done.
Thank you.
To our listeners, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you really learned or got a great overview of what was announced in this budget. So I hope you found it useful. And as always, thank you so much for joining us. And if you have any questions or feedback, please feel free to email us at yourwealth@nab.com.au. Have a nice night. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Your Wealth with Gemma Dale. To stay up to date, please subscribe to this podcast series or email us at yourwealth@nab.com.au.
Please note that any advice provided in this podcast has been prepared without taking into account your objectives, financial circumstances, or needs. Before acting, you should consider the appropriateness of the information. To find out more, please visit nab.com.au.